Hello everyone, we have a special guest today as well to this weekly subject matter expert group. I would like to introduce Larry here, who is the CEO of the MSP CFO company, which is really interesting, and I come across to him in a really interesting way. And I was so curious about how a company like that exists, because if there is some need, there is some solution. And I always was curious about what the type of financial needs the managed services has to somehow solve. And I have a little tricky stuff on my back of my head is that if we get better understanding our business financials, probably we are getting better understanding our clients' financials, which is going to give us a little bit more consultative role and try to understand what they need to do for getting better financial and probably find them some solution which they can solve. So this whole talk is will be somehow to pick Larry's brain about different metrics and how make them more profitable managed service. And everything what we have, you can after ask him about his thoughts about managed services and everything like that. So Larry, please just introduce yourself, your background. I know your background is not MSP, which I like. and how you come to the conclusion or creating something for managed services, and what's the main financial problems you see over the managed services?
Okay, so thanks, Dennis. I guess I'll start with my background. My background is more in consulting and finance. I've worked at big and small companies, and what I've tended to focus on at those companies is identifying the metrics for success. When I worked in investments, you try to understand what are the key drivers of the success of a company. When I worked at the companies, identify the key drivers for growth and operational, really get into the KPIs. About 3 years ago, I was talking to a friend of mine who's also the co-founder of the company. We're both directors. And he said, listen, there's a gap here in the industry. We have a very data-rich industry, and it certainly is. Everything is captured in the PSAs. But people don't fully understand how to use that data to manage the business. I started working with him and looking at his ConnectWise. And what we found is that there was a lot of data there. We could understand the business reasons for the financial performance, which agreements, projects, engineers, clients were pulling up versus dragging down profitability at a company. Because there's a general view that a lot of companies take that if they're, 5 points of margin down, what do I need to fix the whole business? And we decided to take a different view that says if you're 5% down, 5 points down of where you want to be, it's most likely because you have a couple of issues that you can address. And rather than fixing the entire business, you can go to those directly. You could say, well, there's a poorly priced agreement. There's a client that's unprofitable, a project type that you're selling and not making as much money as you thought you were. And focus on those really targeted items rather than looking at the business as a whole, because the business as a whole might be doing very well, and you don't want to change that when the issues are actually much smaller.
I get it. And what do you see the biggest problems around managed services? So you said projects and different drivers. What do you think the main drivers which an MSP has to check all the time, and what the secondary drivers which somehow the primary drivers utilization or anything, what creates a viable business? Then there are KPIs which if you figure out, that's create a great business, right? Get higher margins rather than the competition. And it's always somehow hidden somewhere in the background, right? Which you can see really first.
Right. So the biggest issue we look at is profitability per hour. Our metric is contribution per hour. So you can see how much money you're making per hour that you're spending on the client, because hours really is the one constrained resource at almost every MSP. And you can make that money by servicing an agreement efficiently, by selling products, by having cloud subscriptions where you get paid on a monthly basis. But it doesn't matter how, it just matters that you make enough money. So the first problem we see is that clients aren't really looking at that to identify which are the under or overperforming clients. They look at other metrics, but they don't focus on profitability. I would argue sometimes revenue can be deceptive, because revenue will show you where you're making you're earning dollars, you're generating gross, but not where you're getting enough that you can take home. Because at the end of the day, there's really only one KPI that matters, and that's how much money do you take home at the end of the year.
Yeah.
The question is then, why is that number not where you want it to be? And frequently what we find is that it's because there are individual clients that are less profitable than you thought they were. We do that, we break down, we look at the agreements to see the profitability of the agreements. Are you delivering the number of hours you thought you would? Because the risk is on you for productivity.
Yeah, of course.
We look at the projects, what's being sold. We look at when we look at the agreements, we look at, is it a question of overutilization? Are you putting in too much time? Or is it a question of underpricing? Either one of those is going to make the situation bad. And if you just look at it as a whole, you can miss sort of really the source causes of it.
Yeah, I like where we are going with that. First of all, let's see the two different options. When you have a client and it's not profitable enough, let's see scenario one, you are over deliver something. So you put more hours what they might need or what deserve or whatever it is. And my question, this is usually like a leading indicator. So the lagging indicator, which is basically the result, is the profitability. And if we go back that, okay, what leads to get less profitability, then we are able to find out the things. And you said two of them. My question to you, first of all, if you see some MSP practice, that's the item, this is your client, and the client has a problem that you are over-delivering that. You are asking less what you should ask. What's the solution for that?
If you are over-delivering?
Yep.
Well, there's a couple of things. Why are you over-delivering?
Okay.
One, do they have lousy systems that create conflicts?
Okay.
Is there an opportunity to sell a product or project to bring them more in line? You can make a little money on that, but you will even, on the longer term, you may be able to service them with fewer hours because the conflicts don't exist. Are you looking at the service tickets to see if you have a spike in service type subtype? To see if there are issues that are now popping up that didn't exist before. Perhaps you installed a piece of software and that created conflicts. One of the ones we've seen is when people install new spam software. People will call often to open up the gates a little bit to allow it to be a little looser.
Yep.
That's fine, but you should know that you're bleeding hours because of that spam software. Or it could just be that they are not a great client. You know, there are people that just don't get it and feel they should call you for every issue. You know, I want you to program my GoPro.
Yeah.
You don't say no, and then all of a sudden you've run up hours doing silly things. In terms of pricing, pricing is a little bit more of a challenge. For that, what we look at is what's their pricing on a per unit basis? Because it's tough with bigger or smaller clients to say that the pricing should be done the same. So we say a managed workstation is one, a managed server is two endpoints. And we say, how many dollars are you generating per endpoint? And then you can say, well, why am I getting paid $40 for this client and most other clients I'm getting $65? That's a pricing anomaly, and then you might be able to go back to the client and raise the prices to get it back in line if it's pricing is the problem. But at least then you're starting halfway towards a solution.
Yeah, it's my question too is like what I heard, and it's really like getting a best practice for like pricing and packaging. So let's check one item, pricing, packaging anomalies, what you said. It's there are people who are having like 1, 2, 3 type of package, and they try to find the best solution for each and every client. And probably there is a chance that they are in a lower end package than what they should be, and the account manager has to raise them, right? The second people has only one, you know, all-in package, and they really don't have so much, you know, room to improve. And during the sales process, of course, the sales guy want to close the deal and tell everything. We do VCIO for you. We do everything. We do your GoPro, even go and set up your home cinema and everything, because that's cool we are. Because he want to do the sale, right? And then you get back to this problematic financial, and it's not really always easy to go back to the client and charge more, right? Because like that's the item, that's the problem. And if I have like a system in place and I can understand what's my current cost and what's the driver of the profitability to not bleeding hours on different clients and different silly things, My question to you, like, how can I gather those data? Probably I use Autotask, ConnectWise, one or the other, or Tiger Pro, whatever a solution I have. And how can I gather those data? Because, like, gather those detailed data which you are mentioning probably need me to really use those tools on the edge. Everything should be tracked. Everything should be there. How do you see that, like, traditional MSPs are not implementing 100% of these tools? Can we still get those data out?
Well, the data is all there. I mean, the data should all be there. Nobody uses, I have yet to meet the MSP, and we've looked at, you know, hundreds of MSPs that do their data perfectly. No one does it perfectly. So that shouldn't be the bar to being able to get reporting. We also, the other thing I should mention is I don't make the claim that we've ever split the atom or done cold fusion. What we've done is we've created a tool, a solution, that can help people understand what's going on in their business. People can certainly do this. They could do SQL programming. They can pull the data out. I would argue that we've been doing this a while. We're pretty thoughtful about it, and we'd probably do it a little better than some people could do it on their own. And they would have an alpha product. We have something else. But it can be done. I mean, the biggest issue is you need to get transparency into what's really going on. And the data you look at simply on the surface of any of the PSAs may not tell you exactly what you need to know about where the problems are. So you need that reporting. And one of the benefits of reporting is that you get to find out when things look funny. You know, you may think you have a good relationship, but when you look at your clients relative to each other, you may realize, well, this one wasn't as good as I thought it was. So it's really important to have reports that accurately describe what's going on in each business situation to the point that you're comfortable with them.
Yep.
Have them readily available. And people can do this with their own system. Some of the reports we have are actually simpler to produce, but for the whole, it would take some investment. But I think the reporting allows you to make better decisions. And the most important thing is having transparency as to what's going on.
Yeah, I think that's really important. So I wouldn't make this interview if I wouldn't think that if the MSPs has those, you know, numbers and focus and thinking, because that I think that's a mindset thing. If I'm having like chit chat with my clients and, you know, I'm help them and things like that, it's good and great and I like that approach, but we have to create like viable business, and that's getting more important right now because the whole industry getting commoditized. That means we have to, you know, earn every cent, right? Because the competition is going to be, if the competition know their numbers, they can much better pricing that individual company, which can be like a problem for me because I don't know really what can be my best offer. How can I, you know, negotiate further? So that's information is king, I guess. My second or the next wave of questions about correction. So let's say I have the data. I figure out that's the problem. What usually is happening after? Because like in lots of time, what I see is that I seeing the data is fine and awesome and realizing what's going on, but I need to do action items behind that, right? And of course, renewals and, you know, get negotiating with the clients and things like that. What's the typical things which you see managed services are doing after realizing lousy clients, things like that? What's the best practice you see they do as a correcting actions with those clients? Is it any pattern you see that typically you do this and that, make sure it's going to be like a little bit less bleeding, different hours, or what do you change on the, you know, in the agreement? Where do you see the agreement hurts our profitability because we are not creating boundaries, for example, and the clients can ask things which, it can be on the agreement, but it shouldn't be. Like GoPro, what you said, and home cinema should be totally excluded, right? It's not, should not be included. That. What do you think about that? So based on these best practices.
So it's funny you should say that. Let me preface this by saying that what we do is not consulting. You know, if you have a problem, you need to have an action plan. You need to have milestones. You need to have contingencies. And there are consultants that'll do that, and they'll charge you an hourly rate, and the return on your investment with them is generally a great deal. What we tell our clients is that if I rank all of your clients,
yep,
and I show you your underperforming clients, I want you to understand that these are your clients that are your clients in your market, probably in verticals that you concentrate in. This is your business that you understand. And we segment our clients into 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, 1 being the lowest performer, 5 being the best. So if you have a similar client between segment 1 and segment 4, the story there is one that you would understand better than I could tell you. Why is 1 a lousy client and 4 a better client? They're both about the same size. They're both in the same vertical. They're both being serviced by you geographically in a similar location. So what's the story there?
Okay.
And the story could be any number of things. It could be legacy pricing. It could be SLA is inappropriate. It could be, you know, we need to switch them to time and materials. It could be 10 things. So that's what we see our clients doing. It's not a singular solution because they understand what works for them. What we see is them going through those solutions. And we actually see this, and this isn't something that we pushed for, but something we see, that they then offboard the client. Because if there is no solution, if they've exhausted all of the possibilities, they're better off investing those hours elsewhere.
Yeah, yeah. It's really interesting. So what you see, or what I just tried to rephrase, so basically, if I'm an MSP, I can have my client list and have like classification about different metrics. So for example, like profitability about the client. And now I can see different classification. I can analyze my data. I can analyze like what's the difference, what's the similar, what's the patterns about these five, group five, group four, group three. It could be an industry. It could be who sold the client, who is the account manager, who is working on that. Yeah, exactly. So I think that's big because in this case, there is no shortcuts like, hey, you should do this and that, and everybody can do that. It's basically get more awareness, get more focus, transparency, and have those type of judgment calls that what are the leading indicators you are going to see to make a client a profitable. Maturity, how many quarterly business reviews do that? You do that. I know it's called quarterly business review. Most of the people do it once a year. And you know, it's like it's this kind of thing which I guess you can get out of this whole thing. I think it's pretty awesome. I am still curious how you can get out of data, and you know, because we are using Autotask in our MSP back in Hungary, and I know we are pretty much, you know, lagging a couple of, you know, metrics and things like that. What you can say, like, because like I think it's you better your information system, the more dense the information and data you can get out, and better reports and more better quality. What do you think is like the minimum requirement you see, what you should track, to be honest, you know, just hours or tickets, or so what do you what's the minimum requirement?
I mean, I would say we definitely, being in a data business, there's garbage in, garbage out. We've been doing this for a while, so we are able to sort of broaden the funnel.
Yep.
For different use cases of the PSA, there are some basics. People have to put in their time.
Okay.
You need to invoice from the PSA, whether you actually invoice from your accounting package or you do it from the invoice has to be prepared.
Yep.
In the PSA, so we can track that. You should do project work against projects.
Okay.
A lot of times people have a project and they bill that against T&M, and you got a revenue here and the labor there. You should match that up.
Okay.
Beyond that, you know, the other stuff is small.
Yeah, that's
We can accommodate it.
Yeah, because like...
And one thing I want to highlight here, you know, if you're trying to fix your business, and I assume everybody to a certain extent is always trying to fix your business, excellent reporting, in the best case scenario, we'll get you halfway there.
Yeah.
You know, we like to think of it, if this is a baseball game, and you look at the reporting and you understand it, you're on second base. You haven't scored. You still have to take that path to, how am I going to fix this bad situation? You're not hunting around as to which one do I need to apply my effort to fix. But there's still that distance you need to travel to say, I want to make client 15 look like client 18, because client 18 is awesome, client 15 is less so. I want to understand what I need to do. The fact that you can get that far to say 15 to 18 is your job for the next 3 months is awesome, but it's not over.
Yeah.
And one of the things that we found that was very interesting to me is we shared our reports. And again, coming back to the report, we show the rankings. We have several reports, but that's one that people find particularly useful. They look at the report and they say, you know what, there's six clients in this bottom segment. I knew about four of them. One of them, we had a crypto virus, so the hours spiked. The other one's a bit of a surprise to me. So that's great. We've given them information about a client they didn't know was a bad client, so they can look at it. What's also interesting is those four that they say, yeah, I've known they've been a bad client. How long have you known this? Year, 18 months, yeah. 2 years?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They've been a bad client for 2 years? Yeah, we're having difficulty putting through changes. And then I'll circle back in a few months, talk about how they're doing, and they tell me what they've done with their bad clients. What's changed? When they have the reporting, they're empowered to take the action. And I find that just to be
relieving,
very gratifying from my perspective, yeah. And very, I find it fascinating that in your heart of hearts, I'm sure with your MSP, you know your lousy clients.
Yeah.
If I were to show you a list, you'd say, you know what, I know it.
Yeah, it's...
How long have they been lousy? Probably too long.
Yeah, the fact what you are saying is like, and that's like a magic of reports, is that these are facts, not guesses, not feelings, not opinions. These are facts. And when you see the facts, you can make decisions much faster, and it's a revelation that, okay, now I know this is lousy client segment. Now I'm easier to go there and say, you know what, guys, 20% increasing on go out of the business. And that's the deal, because you know what you are negotiating, right? It's easier to execute those items. Clarity, transformation, right? So that's what you're saying is totally makes sense to me. The execution. The other thing, like as a leader, lots of time, like I had a problem to, I had an opinion, I had a feeling, but I didn't have the proof of that. So in this case, you say to the people, you should work more or do that or whatever, what you are feeling. But when you have a report, when you have a fact, when you have something behind you, it's just, you know what? What's your opinion about this fact? As a leader, as a manager, it's much higher, you know, probability that you are able to drive the behavior you want to drive with facts. It can be client, it can be internal. And I think this is revealing for many, many, many MSPs as well. They are feeling this tech is not putting that much hour. They just feel it. And, you know, Jack is a really nice guy and it's like really hard.
Well, you could say that this is a relationship where our gross profit is $10,000. That's fine, but what is your investment in hours to get that $10,000? I can't throw away the $10,000. Well, you probably could sell more projects. You probably could pick up new clients and on an hourly basis do far better. Reallocate those hours and make $50,000. But people are very reluctant to get rid of a cash flow positive client, even if it's one of your worst cash flow positive clients.
Yeah, it's hard to make decision because this is still going to, this cash is going to come every month. So if you don't have that cash, it's going to be like, I don't want to throw away this stuff because of that. But however, and we had a webinar like half a year ago, and that was really interesting. We gone through about what's stop growing your business. So what's the things grow, stop you. And most of the time your lousy clients are. Like you still has to go legacy stuff, not moving forward, justify all the projects, then go back, and it's like really drowning your, growth. And that's basically lots of people said to me that when they start to get rid of bad clients, it's somehow new clients are getting appeared. It's somehow magical stuff, like it's somehow you don't spend so much time on, you know, meetings like that. You have time to have meetings with a sales, part. You get better quality a sales relationship, like you have more time on closing a deal, right? Getting more question, more discovery, rather than go back and, you know, fix those problematic clients. So that's a lot of stuff, I think. My question to you, like, Larry, is like, if somebody, like, how people can engage you? So what's the process, you know, what the expectation they can have? So, you know, just how you can help to people, like software or consultation, or the typical people, like what we have in the MSP2 community are quite mature. So they are like really good forward thinking, and they are usually executors. So they are like a really good, you know, type of people. So what do you suggest to them, to the next step or things like that?
We have for our application, it's software as a service. If they want to look at our website, it's www.mspcfo.com.
Yeah, we are going to put it down, so it's a link.
Do I do that or you do that?
Me, because it's going to be on the blog, so I'm going to make sure they get it.
All good. Our product is sold software as a service. We charge a monthly fee. There's no setup charge, mm-hmm. and there's no long-term commitment, because we feel we always should deliver to have somebody stay with us month to month.
Same as us.
We only work with ConnectWise right now.
Okay.
We hope to have Autotask in the first quarter of next year. The process is we set up an API, which if you've worked with other data vendors, sometimes they use an ODBC connection. That can be much slower, and it's also, it breaks more often. So we use an API. From the time that we get the credentials to start the API process, we can have you onboarded in 2 days, 2 business days.
Yep.
And we do this by really aggressively going through the data, doing all the assignments, and then giving it to you to have you understand it. We support the product fully. We don't consult, so I'm not going to tell you how to fix your business, mm-hmm. but I will tell you how to understand the reporting. We try to make the barriers as low as possible to onboarding and also to being able to get value out of it. And that's the short of it. We have about 75 clients on the platform right now. We're really happy with the way things are going. The feedback we've gotten has been very encouraging. And our goal is to help MSPs operate more profitably. So we're just happy with that. We like what we do. Really do enjoy it.
Yeah, and I like this approach. Like what you're saying is like basically the barrier for a client or like a managed services, basically throw away the first month of commitment. Get everything is ready in a couple of days, and they have like they instantly have some value, right? Because but somebody don't want to get committed for monthly fees, still the first month they get lots of stuff. And of course, I believe that you are going to convince people that, you know, getting back to those data and see this thing is worthwhile. And if you set up once, it's worth to move away. But it's really, from an MSP perspective, it's basically no risk attached, right? So it's basically getting everything, no big commitment.
You cancel before your next invoice, and we won't bill your credit card. We find our clients typically log on once to twice a week, just to see what's going on with the business. Unless they have client meetings or specific questions, then they'll log in and poke around and understand what's going on with that client.
Hmm.
But just as an assessment, a health assessment, they log in once to twice a week.
Awesome. I like that. So it's really something I think our community can leverage. Because, like, you know, as always, like, I have a selfish role as well, that if they can save more time and money, they are going to grow faster and use more services from the vendor community as well. So that's like leveraging other tools. I really appreciate that. And my question, like, usually I ask the last question from people is like, and I know you try to sneak away these type of hints and tips. I try to get out of you a couple of times, but I'm going to ask you last time. Give us 3 hints or tips what typically somebody can do really easily to find those, you know, problems or do something with that.
So the first thing is to look at your agreements and break them down into utilization by endpoint, or utilization by member if you have, or by user, and also pricing by user and utilization by pricing and utilization by user, or price utilization by endpoint. And that can give you a pretty quick understanding as to whether or not you have a problem or where that problem might be. That's number one.
Agreement.
That's the second one. Yep. The second one I would look at is the efficiency of your agreements. Efficiency is a function of how much have you billed versus how much value have you delivered. You know, if you would have put together an invoice for a client, it would have been $3,000, but you actually only invoice them $1,500. You're only getting paid 50 cents on the dollar for what you're doing. Understand what's going on there. To put a quick view on which clients you're giving more value than what you're getting paid for.
Okay.
Gosh, and the easy one for the third one.
Just not that just easy. Too easy thing you can do.
Other one, I guess, would also be to look at the efficiency of your engineers to see if they're consistently
generating the revenue.
Generating more revenue than what their cost would have been. Yeah. Because then you can find out the ones that are working better, and then maybe you can buddy match them. If you have a new engineer or an engineer that's not that new and he's less efficient than someone else, perhaps you can have him sit with somebody and maybe he can discover shortcuts to make him more efficient.
Hmm.
A lot of it is just comparing your business to itself. It's different ways that we do that, but understanding where are you doing well and where are you doing poorly. You know, one of the things I like to think about is we have clients that shoot for an effective hourly rate of $85.
Okay.
We have clients that shoot for an effective hourly rate of $165.
Hmm.
They're both profitable. But you have to know if that's what your bogey is, if that's what you're shooting for, where are you doing better or worse?
Cool.
Which clients are above or below that $85? Yep. So you can understand how you can make it better. I think the mistake is to look at your business as a whole. Because there are certain things that just aren't going to move the needle that much. And it's tremendous. One thing we look at is your bottom producing clients, if you are able, and you're not always able to, but if you're able to make them look as good as your middle quintile, not your best, just your middle one, there could be 10 points of margin there. And think about that. 10 points of margin, which frequently will be doubling the income at your business.
Yeah.
And there's no sales associated with
exactly.
That.
And that's inside the company already.
Right. So, I mean, think about what the return on your effort if you don't even have to sell
again.
That's
like crazy. Yeah. That's, you know, I had the benchmark from Service Leadership, and they told that the average margin from the, I don't know how, 1,000 MSP they asked, 7%. That's the average margin, the 7%. So that means like there are 15, 20, 30% margin people, and there are like zero or even, you know, not break even companies. And my, the shock to me was like, just if you think about that in this commodity, we have to work more with less money or be smarter on that. 7% average margin in this industry is just, it's so, make this whole industry really, fragile. Because if something happens easily, you can lose those, you know, 5, 6, 7% margin and you are just not making money. And if you are not if you're not agile enough to, you know, get for these, you know, numbers and understand where what you just can't control the company. You go to the with a car and you know you don't see anything. You don't know where to turn the wheels, right? It's like going blind. And if you know the numbers and if you get the report, at least you can do the corrective actions ASAP, right? So you can make, okay, that's not a good deal. Okay, now we go back with two people to make profitable with less revenue, but more profit. And this is the decisions which is usually an entrepreneur is not going to do without data. I'm not going to chop my company and get from 15 people to 13 people to make more margin because I'm revenue based. I see that every, you know, sales it's getting, I get better company. But you can make those decisions if you have data, right? And without that, you just, you know, powerless. So that's, I really like the approach. And as your product is getting mature and mature, like let us know. It's like, or follow up with a couple of months. But I'm really appreciate your thoughts here, and you know, good luck for that, and thanks for your thoughts.
Dennis, thank you so much for sharing the time.